Blog Talk Radio.
Show, and if you expected to find me out there, I hate to disappoint you. You're stuck with good old me, and I just happen to be Pastor J. Rouse. Praise the Lord. You probably didn't recognize me because my voice is coming back. I believe last week I did not sound like me, and so I don't know if you like that person that you heard, but this is the Pastor J. Rouse you remember. Now, keep in mind, my voice is still a little off, so bear with me, but we're going to get through. Amen. Praise God. And I pray that the week has found you well and blessed. Praise the Lord. And I truly, 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 truly hope that your week has been precious and that you have been pulling through. Remember to pray your way through, amen, and praise your way through. Tonight we have all sorts of wonderful things happening, and I can't wait to share it with you. We have some new music, and we're going to be sharing some music with some new people. We even had a submission that was very, very unique, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm still going to play it or not, but I definitely want to put it out there, praise the Lord, and give you guys a chance, because you know what? We don't judge. We don't pick out the very best or the mediocre or the ultimate. We just kind of, if you're willing and we think it's doable, then we're going to put it out there. Amen. Because it said to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise God. But before we get going, you know what? I want to play a song and then we pray. I'm feeling like some serious music. So let me start off with a new singer we have on board in our roster now, and his name is Darren Ziwak, or Ziwak. I'm hoping I say it properly. Darren, forgive me if I'm saying it wrong. We're going to be talking to him over the next little while and sharing some of the testimony in his music ministry. And I like it because I say music ministry because it's not just a ministry that he's doing music, but Darren actually is a director of music and has been conducting music in his church for a long time. And I think that's probably where he first felt his calling was, and then the Lord expanded. And I think that's what God usually does. And, you know, the Lord has a way of training us to prepare us for where he needs us to be. And you may start off in a position and think this is who you're supposed to be. And the comfort level sometimes forces you to stay there and you want to stay there. But I can assure you that whatever the Lord wants you to do, he's going to prepare you needlessly. And this is where I think Brother Darren is going. And I know Brother Darren, he loves to minister to God's people as well. So I'm going to pick out one of his songs. I'm trying to figure. Let's listen to this one, Traffic Jam. Amen. This is Darren Ziwak.
Could this be hell?
Amen. I just want you to love me for who I am. Amen. So many times we end up not being who we are, or end up falling for somebody and they're not who they're supposed to be and they pretend to be someone else. I can't even begin to tell you how many stories I've heard in the last few months of situations like that. And it's sad. It's very, very sad because people get hurt. There's a lot of guilt involved. And you just don't know the kind of pain that you're causing somebody. Amen. I would suggest that you be the person you are supposed to be and not pretend to be somebody else. Let's look to the Lord this evening in prayer, and I'm excited. We have some exciting things taking place, and we definitely want to talk about keeping it real, and we have a very hot topic, right on point topic tonight, and it's just unbelievable, and I just really want to hear from you. Praise God. It's something else when you hear the topic, but let us look to the Lord right now. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor and worship and adore you, Father. And we thank you for being who you are. And Father, we thank you again for seeing us through another week. There might be trials and there's struggles and tribulation, but Father God, we know that we never walk alone because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And therefore, you have carried us to this point. The song says, I don't believe you brought us this far to leave us. And so that we can truly lift up and say, thank you, Father. Father, right now we pray for those out there who are hurting, who are seeking, Father God, whatever they're looking for, Father God, let them find it within you. And then it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, Father, we just ask that they would seek you first and know that you are the giver of the desires of their heart. And, Father, we just thank you again. Father, we look to those who are hurting and need healing and pain, suffering physically. Father God, we're going to speak to cancer right now and condemn it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask for miracles right now, that you would step forth and come forward and show yourself real. Father, those who are hungry, those who are in need, those who have no clothing or need shelter, Father, we ask for grace and mercy, and we ask that you would use your other children to reach out so they can feel that they can give something, no matter how small it may be. It may be small, but it's the world to someone else. And Father, right now we ask for you to give a giving heart and a giving spirit to mankind, because if one could help another, and we all did this, where would the world be but in a much better place? Father, right now, as we prepare for this show, I ask that you use me, that you touch the lives of those who are participating in the show. We ask that you would move mountains to those who actually listen to the show. And Father God, we just ask right now that you take over. My name may be on it, but your heart is within it. And so we lift it up now in Jesus' name. And we all agree and said, amen. Praise God. Now, I got some more new music in, and I'm excited because I can't wait to share this one. We're going to have this group come on and hang with us sometime very soon. And before we do all our birthday celebrations, we have lots of various events around the world, but we want you to check out our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page, and you can get all the updates on everything that is taking place. And right now, we ask, too, that you contact us if you have something that you know is quite unique and you have things happening, or you want to do a church shout-out, or you have a birthday or anniversary shout-out, or something special you want to celebrate. You can contact Dr. J. Rouse Show at gmail.com, or, yes, you can contact Rouse Ministries Broadcasting Jennifer@gmail.com, okay? And we're also on Twitter, so don't forget to connect with us. And that's Pastor Roush Show. There's no J on Twitter, just Pastor Roush Show. And yes, definitely check out our Facebook, and you can message us. And we really want to hear from you. We enjoy hearing from you. We enjoy connecting with you. And we just really want to know that you're enjoying what you hear. Praise God. And we're so excited to be able to share so many wonderful things around the world with everybody else. And it gives you an opportunity because I have to admit, in the last little while, it's been Caribbean and Barbados, but I get emails and messages from people from around the world, India and Pakistan and the UK and South Africa and so many places around the world. I can't begin to tell you that what happens on the show and what they see on our pages is actually going through and touching lives and changing lives. And it gives someone else around the world an opportunity to actually explore and experience somewhere else. Now, I definitely think that is unique. And I'm so glad that I'm able to bring it together and let everybody experience things around the world. We are going to be dealing with some other international music and international things coming soon. So please don't hesitate because you know you can share and you can still give it in to us. Amen. But let's check out a song and then we're going to hang and find out what's going on in the neighborhoods near you. And if you're celebrating, well, come on now, you can't leave us out. We definitely want to celebrate with you too, praise God. And so we want you to continue to keep us posted. I just want to give a shout out to right now. I want to give a holla to some of my friends in Barbados, missing you, and especially to my family. Praise God. But this is another song by Darren, and it's called Situation, Darren Ziwak.
Before my life begun, I'm so glad that my problems stay with you. With confidence I know your grace will pull me through. You promise to always be there. I trust in you because I know you. Make it right.
situation. My word. How many times have we said that? That's why I decided that we're going to call the next few weeks keeping it real. Amen. I don't want everyone to pretend to be somebody that they're not. And you know, there's a lot of people out there smiling on the outside and hurting on the inside. And that's all fine and dandy. You could get away with that for a little while. But you know what? You might be able to fool everybody else, but I know there's one person you can't fool, and that is God. So I just want to make sure that we're not pretending to be to find your happiness. We want to be able to let you know to be encouraged and to know that all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose and trust with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Okay. We've come to birthday time. I get so excited. I know you guys think I'm strange, and I really am, and I'm proud of it. Praise the Lord. But I have always, you can ask anybody who knows me, I have always gotten so excited about birthdays. When I was really small, of course, I got very excited about my own birthday because I knew it meant party and cake and gifts. And then as I got older, I found out what most people don't seem to realize, but giving is really a good thing. And I enjoyed it so much that and I knew that I was always happy on my birthday and that it was good. And people always show you extra special love on your birthday. Haven't you noticed? People do not even know you exist for a whole year. And suddenly, you got a birthday. And the next thing you know, everybody's enjoying it. And they're all sharing and everybody's giving you hugs. And come on now. We call that free love. If you could get it, why not get it? Amen. Praise God. And so I get so excited for people's birthdays because I realize that is the one time that we know that people can truly be happy. And I get excited because I like to see people happy. There's a lot of people around that don't like to see folk being happy or good things happening. But that's okay because the Lord, he rejoices with you. Amen. Praise God. And even if it's just your birthday and you have nobody to celebrate it, we are more than happy to celebrate it with you. And I know the Lord is always happy and proud because each year he gives you is another 365 days that he considered it a blessing. And he obviously thought you were a blessing because he wanted you to stick around and share it with other people. So definitely count it all joy. Amen. Praise God. So you know the routine. If you've had a birthday between last week and today, or you're celebrating an anniversary or some kind of milestone, or maybe it's some sort of a celebration because it's something you've accomplished, know that we are happy and excited for you, and we are glad and can't get over the fact that it's your birthday. Amen. It should be celebrated. Praise the Lord. And just to help celebrate it, well, you know you got to sing a song, and you know the song is Happy Birthday. For everyone else who's celebrating, just join with us because we're happy for you too. Amen. And I just want to tell you all that remember each day, each minute, each moment, each hour, and every second that you have is a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Never take it for granted. Praise God. So here we go. This is for you, birthday folks.
Happy birthday to you.
happy birthday, congratulations, happy anniversary, and all of that good stuff. And I'm going to put this on this, our friend Jermaine Cowan and the Jermaine Cowan Band, Something About Life, because you know what? You need to find what makes you smile, amen? Praise God. About life makes me want to smile. You know, you definitely have to find a purpose and a reason to smile, amen, because we're keeping it real here on the Pastor J. Rowe Show. Praise God. And we had so many different events taking place, and somehow we have lost some kind of thing where I can't seem to find it, so I'm not sure what's going on. Praise God. But we're going to get it out there momentarily. Praise the Lord. But in the meantime, I just want to let you all know what happened. There's a show, and it's Keeping It Real. And literally, we've all heard about keeping up with the Joneses. And it's a standard saying of what it means, keeping up with the Joneses. And it's kind of different. And it means that you're trying to do better than the next guy, amen? Like, if you've got the neighbors, if they get a new car, you got to get a new car, and you got to get a better car. If they get a new house, you got a bigger house and a better house. It's always trying to be one step ahead or trying to be ahead, amen? And it's a little kind of off, but hey, it's what some people do, and that's exactly how they tend to be. And this particular show is ironic because it is called the Jones family, and they're trying to keep up, or we're trying to keep up, just the Kardashians, amen? So let's hear about this new show. It's a TV series that's been on in Barbados, and it's spreading around the world. And the exciting thing is the series is running online as well. They'll tell you a little bit more about where to locate it. And it's a series that's going to be starting again, I believe, in the fall on CBC. That's the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation in Barbados. And there's a movie. That's right, and I can't wait to see it. And we're going to put a trailer to the movie on our website. But in the meantime, let's find out a little bit more about what it's like keeping up with the Joneses. Good afternoon. It's Pastor Jay Rouse. Yes, still here in sunny Barbados. And we're still live on location at the Blue Orchid Beach Hotel. And I'm excited because this sounds rather interesting. I'm sitting here with two people who have been brainchild, birth giver, nurturer. They're parents to a program, amen? Praise God. And I think it's really good, and I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing because, as we know, Pastor Jay loves life lessons stuff, and I think everything isn't always Christian, and it's not all biblical, but I think everybody is here to learn, and the more we can help people learn and become a little bit wiser, it makes everyone feel much better. Praise God. And this particular show that I'm speaking of is called Keeping Up with the Joneses. I tried to keep up with the Smiths. I've tried to keep up with the Williams. I have tried to keep up with all sorts of people, and it's never gone very well. And I doubt very much anybody can keep up with the Joneses. So, Mr. Rommel, what is your full name?
Yes, my name is Rommel Hall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you are what part of Keeping Up with the Joneses?
I am the writer, director, and producer of the series.
Okay. And there's another lovely lady here, so quietly waiting her turn. Bless her heart. She's so well-behaved. And Rommel is shaking his head. Oh, was that an eye roll? I think, yes, I saw an eye roll there for a minute. And your name is?
I'm Chantel Evelyn.
Okay.
And I'm assistant director on the show.
Okay. So you've given birth to this baby, Keeping Up with the Joneses. And from what our earlier discussion, I understand the show is currently on a hiatus because you're in the process of putting Keeping Up with the Joneses, the film, together. And that takes a lot of work considering if you've had a series that there would be such an interest to have a film. So why don't we start off by saying, all right, and so what I'm thinking is that we want to know a little bit more about who Keeping Up with the Joneses are. Who are the Joneses? Anybody?
Basically, the Joneses are a family of Barbadians, and they have been reluctantly made part of a reality show. What happens is that this group of camera people turn up, this crew turns up at their house, wanting to film them for a documentary called Life and Times in the Caribbean, and promising to pay them $10,000 US if they allow them to stay and film the family's everyday life. Now the mother, Angela Jones, she doesn't want to do it because she's thinking about privacy and what's not, but the father is looking at the fact that 6 days, people filming me, $10,000. But then when the reality sets in where you have all these camera crew, lighting crew, all these people living in their house, mm-hmm. then it became a little uncomfortable.
No doubt. I mean, it's hard enough just you two being here and then me in the middle. So now, and we just got the name of one of the characters. That was the mother of the
mm-hmm.
show?
Yeah, that was the mother.
And she's approximately what age would you say?
When the show starts off, she is about 38 because in the movie she turns 40. She celebrates her 40th birthday in the movie.
Okay. And so she's the mom, mm-hmm. and there's her husband, mm-hmm. and how many children does Angela
yeah.
Jones have?
Well, she has two children, Tracy and Nathan.
Tracy and Nathan. And they are how old?
Well, Tracy started out at 17, and Nathan started at about 11.
Okay. And the show's been going on now. Did you progress it according to the years that the show's been going, or was
yeah.
it, because some people will use different time frames?
So it went literally as the show progresses, they would age accordingly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so, and what is Daddy's name?
Oh, he's Irvin.
Irvin?
Yeah.
Okay. So, these people invade their home, technically. They allow them. And now you said it was an initial proposition of $10,000 US, and they were only supposed to do it for about a week.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did it start? And was the first day not too bad, and then it got strenuous?
Well, it was a disaster because basically you had a whole set of embarrassing moments happening. Because what it did, what we really wanted to use the show to do was to show people how regular families deal with everyday situations.
Right.
And what better way to do that than to show a family behind closed doors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cameras are on, and they're living their lives, trying to ignore the cameras and trying to look good for the cameras. But at the same time, all kinds of embarrassing stuff happens. One of the first things that happens is that because the mother and the father, the camera crew turns up at their house on the eve of their 12th wedding anniversary.
Oh, okay.
Right. So the mother is obviously furious. Yeah. The mother is furious. So, you know, the father is in the doghouse. So anyhow.
Oh no. So they're having an argument.
Right, in the middle, right before the anniversary. So to try to smooth things over, Tracy takes it upon herself to give them breakfast in bed. And what happens is that she accidentally walks in on her parents having sex.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, the thing is that because it shocks a lot of people. No, you didn't actually see the sex scene.
Right, but you knew.
Right, because I'm a big fan of the Cosby Show. I don't think I've ever seen Cliff really kiss Claire on the lips or anything. Most people do that, pet
he
her on the cheek. Right.
He goes into her face, right.
Exactly, but, you know, there would have times when, you know, she would look at him, you know, Claire would give him the eyes. Yeah, and then they would run up the stairs and know what they're going to do. Right?
Yeah.
So
keep looking at each other. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we did it like that. You know, they came through the door. Irving was wrapped up in a sheet. He ran out. The mother was wrapped up in a sheet. And everyone was shocked. I was like, "Oh my goodness, a sex scene!" Like, no, it's not a sex scene. It's just the perception.
Right.
So that was the first in the long line of many disasters that happened on the show.
So now this has been on for how long?
It's been on for 2 years now. We started we filmed the first episode in 2010, but it's been on for 2 years since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
We have 13 episodes. First season was 7 episodes, second season was 6.
Okay. And while it's on hiatus, you were saying that it is available online.
Yes, at islestream.com, that's ILSTREAM.
.com. Okay, and we will be linking that on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page so people can actually see where it is and they can go in and it's on demand, so that's good. So then you can just take a look
and
maybe get caught up. I think I'll have to take a peep at this.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good perspective because you start to realize that even though it's a West Indian type show, you start to realize that even though there's some differences, there's still some similarities to regular everyday family. And I think this is good to share with the rest of the world that, you know what, we still go through the same things everybody else does.
Yeah, exactly.
Our mama might get vexed, but she might say different words than somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
But it still works out the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that I enjoyed, you were saying that you deal with certain issues that happen in there, and there were some very serious things that you've dealt with in there. What sort of things?
Well, we had one entire episode which was dedicated to date rape.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at that issue. We looked at it from the what you should not do point of view, and then the dealing with it after and the possible outcomes. So that was one of our more serious episodes because it's a comedy, and so most of the episodes are very light. They have a message, but it's easy to digest. It's very light. But this was one of the more serious episodes that we have had.
Mm-hmm.
What Ramel has done a very good job in doing is incorporating a lesson in every single episode.
Very
you know,
good.
It's not screamed. It's not thou shalt do this
right,
or else,
exactly.
You know, but just, you know, very, very subtly incorporating mm-hmm. some life lessons
right.
For the families, for the parents, for the children mm-hmm. into each episode.
Now, and do you work on the bonding of the family or different things to try to figure out how to help structure the family? Because we know, you know, yeah. like most families are busy. They don't even eat anymore. Andrew Gemin and I were just discussing that even to have a family meal these days is almost an impossible feat. Yeah. So, you know, everybody's got their own separate lives. I'm assuming that these guys were they working or career-oriented families?
Yeah, they're a very career-oriented family.
Uh-huh.
The father, he has his own business, and the mother is a financial controller.
Okay.
So we see the issues that develop from that
uh-huh.
and balancing that with their family life. And then we also introduce the aspect of having the extended family.
Okay.
And how both sides of the extended family
okay.
interact with each
the
other.
The in-laws.
And that dynamic, yeah.
Right.
And not just the in-laws, but the mm-hmm. in-laws interacting with the in-laws.
Oh,
you know? So
I
we
see.
Have some of that dynamic.
And it can cause
well.
Tension and laughter all at
yes.
once.
Okay. yeah.
So do we have any grandparents showing up occasionally? Or?
Yes, we do.
Okay. all right. We can't leave the grandparents out because we know that they usually add the bulk of the laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it's going to be online, and while it's on hiatus, you're trying to finish up the film.
Yes.
So tell us about Keeping Up with the Joneses, the movie.
Well, Keeping Up with the Joneses, the movie, originally it was supposed to just tie the whole series together and just finish it, you know, because I didn't want to leave it up in the air.
Uh-huh.
But after we finished the film, then I had an idea, like, you know what, let's continue, because originally I wanted to do like 5 or 6 seasons,
mm-hmm.
like 6 episodes per season, and it was becoming increasingly difficult, so I said, you know what, let's just do a movie and just wrap it up and,
right.
and just finish. But essentially what happens in the movie is that the Jones family is kidnapped.
Whoa.
And they are...
You don't want to put too much out there now.
No, but I mean, it's yeah. said in the trailer. It's in the trailer.
Okay.
So the Jones family is kidnapped, and Angela's brother, Chantel was just talking about the extended family in
mm-hmm.
the second season. Angela has a brother who had a nervous breakdown. He was, an investment banker, right? He was an investment banker living in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And he had a nervous breakdown, so they sent him back to Barbados. And because of his condition, Angela and Irvin took him in so that they could sort of watch over him.
Right.
So what happens is that we do all kind of craziness with Anderson, but during the second season, he takes this drug that... was supposed to help his condition, and
uh-huh.
what did that help him too much, because then he became super smart. He could
yeah.
right, so
and the name of this pill is called only
called
in Barbados.
It's
not available in Barbados
yeah.
near you.
Yeah.
Rexacol is completely fiction.
I'll have
right.
to make sure I go and pick up a bottle before I head home.
Right. So what happens in the movie now? Anderson, because the Rexacol then had these side effects that they extended blood, and he passed out, and he had to get hospitalized and all
right.
that. So they took him off, but you know, it comes and goes. The effects of the drug comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that in the movie, they decide to put Anderson in a place for people with mental issues.
Right.
They didn't want the whole stigma of
mm-hmm.
mental hospital.
Sure.
Right. And so after the family's kidnapped, then Anderson and some friends at the mental hospital got together to try to rescue the family. Right, so these Anderson and 3 friends from the mental hospital.
Oh my.
Sorry, the players to the people with mental issues.
I just had a
right.
vision of a Benny Hill
comedy
show with all of them running around
right,
looking all over the place. Yeah.
Right. So they come together to try to rescue family. So think about 3 people with issues, you know, coming together. It's just comedy in itself,
right.
but. Well, I was very, very, very careful because mental health is a real thing, huh?
Yeah,
and
oh yeah.
I was very, very careful. I mean, when I first envisioned the Anderson character, I was like, oh man, this guy's going to be crazy. But then
mm-hmm.
I was like, wait a minute, I have to be very careful
yeah,
because there are people out there.
Right, yeah.
There are people out there who actually have brothers and sisters who
yeah.
have mental issues. So I didn't want to be offensive,
right.
you know? So, and I remember one episode, we had this scene where Anderson strips off his clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a funny scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just before the scene hit the air,
mm-hmm.
there was an incident in Bridgetown where
oh
a woman
no,
stripped off her clothes and
thing.
Ran down the street.
And now you have to see the reaction of that. Yeah.
So then we had to put a big disclaimer saying that we filmed this thing way back in June, long before this incident happened.
Oh,
please don't hit us.
Oh, no, that's rough. And you know what? It's funny because as a minister, it's like you start preaching in church and everybody thinks that you're talking their business.
Yeah.
And it's not, and you don't know, but, you know, people start going, how's she talking about me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you're like, no, no, no. And I've seen ministers have to literally do disclaimer. This isn't about anybody. You know, this is just, you know, because we don't know. But, hey, there's a reason why it's coming out.
Yeah.
So, but then that's almost ironic. But do you know the reaction that everybody had to the lady?
Well, it was one of pity.
It was
one of pity because it was, you know, this lady, I don't even know the outcome, but she just took off her clothes and ran down Broad Street.
Right.
And, you know, people took the picture. You know, we live in this day and age.
Right. You're
going to
have people who will understand and others who are just amused.
Right. So
this.
Facebook was littered with these pictures of this naked woman. But, and they were very insensitive.
Right.
So, we then had to then talk about it and say, you know, mental health is a very serious issue and what's not. But, I don't know the outcome, but I think she was taken care of. Somebody got her, put her in a blanket.
And looked after her and got her some help, no doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, it's a very serious topic, so it's a very touchy situation, so this will be hard. And I guess, too, when you think about it, with the Joneses being an actual family, they really have to deal with the realities of real life.
Exactly. And that's one of the things we had to do with the whole dynamic of Anderson having mental health and then living with their children and trying to figure out how they... we actually had an episode in the third season dealing with... And again, one of those, as they say in America, powerful episodes of Keeping Up with Joneses.
Go on now.
Dealing with mental health where Anderson does something and... one of the children do something and they blame Anderson because, you know, poor Uncle Anderson don't know... up from down,
right?
So they blame it on him and stuff. So it's then we really get serious about the whole mental health.
Okay. Now, we've dealt with the seriousness and obviously lots of lessons to be learned. What are some of your funniest moments or funniest with the show itself? Because I'm about to ask what happens behind the scenes.
It's a circus.
So the show itself, what was some of the funniest episodes or events that happened in the show?
For me, my favorite episode, my favorite episode of all time is one called, well, I always like to play around with the titles of the episodes, so it's We and Mrs. Jones. Where Angela, one of the dynamics of the Joneses is when the cameras follow the Jones family to work, right? One of the characters, one of the memorable characters is a guy called Simmons. Every episode he has a different job. Every single episode he has a different job. So they're actually people who, like my father for one, that's his favorite character because every week he's like, I wonder what Simmons is going to be doing this week.
Oh, no.
Because he went from being, he works with Mr. Jones. That's how we introduced him because he works with Mr. Jones.
Right.
And he was sleeping on the job. And then the next week he was a party clown. And the next week he was the delivery guy at Porsche.
Yeah.
But
like the character with the Living Color, but they had two jobs. Remember, I had three jobs. Do you remember Living Color?
Yeah, barely. Yeah, I remember Hopi the Clown.
Yeah, Homie.
Homie the Clown, right. Homie the Clown. Homie the Clown.
Homie don't play that.
Yeah, Homie don't play that. Yeah. Right, anyhow, but one of the dynamics is that we followed them to work, and at Angela's workplace, the morale is very low because when the camera crew comes in, they film, you know, everything that happens, and some beans are spilled, for want of a better word, right? So the staff morale is very low, and there's also one character who is helplessly in love with Mrs. Jones. He's very much in love with Mrs. Jones, and he blabs it to the camera, too, and it becomes, because when the show is then broadcast, it's a whole spectacle.
Okay.
So,
what you mean? Because it's been sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But
right.
Then it's come out of the public, right?
So what happens now is the same guy Simmons this week.
Amen. We're just going to take a quick break, put on a song, and then we're going to read our community happening and events. And then we'll come back to keeping up with the Joneses, if you could keep up with us. Amen. Let's check it out. I Want to Hear Solitude with Jesus by Darren Zewak.
I
Solitude with Jesus by Darren Zewak. Okay, what's happening in your community? Well, we're about to tell you. Now, just a reminder, it's been announced some weeks ago, and it's finally getting closer to that special day. Just a reminder, I believe it's next Saturday. That's November the 2nd, right here in Toronto. We have happening the ultimate sacrifice. Do you remember talking about that? Well, it finally arrived. And Cheryl Nemhart is a writer, author, playwright, director of movies and films. She does it all. Amen. And this is one of her projects, and I know she's being blessed by the Lord, and she's excited, praise God, and it is back. It wasn't happening before, now it's back, and you need to check it out. I believe it's happening November the 2nd. Amen, praise God. Now let's see if we can get you some information. The ultimate sacrifice, here we go. All right. Tuning it up here on my monitor. All right. The Ultimate Sacrifice. One night, one show, one time. November the 2nd, 2013. The tickets are already on sale. Check it out at kbtickets.com. Or in North America, you could call 1-800-240-0902. Now, it says here, set in a modern-day hood, very violent, very poor, where gangs and drug dealers are the role models. Crime is an everyday occurrence, and the gun is the law. It is a place where police are mocked, community leaders and pastors are only tolerated. The church has no voice and has given up on making a difference. No one has any hope of getting out. No one has a dream. No one except Elijah Xavier. As an ex-gang leader of the toughest gang in the city and a two-time convicted felon, Elijah has been given a second chance out of prison and a divine calling. Amen. His mission by God is clear: to be a living example of God's redemption and to break the demonic chains that have his former brothers bound. To do that, he knows that he is up against the very gang that he came out of, and he must face his own personal demons as well. The ultimate battle of good versus evil ensues as Elijah, now a minister, forges his way onto the streets, armed with only his faith. My, it's a weapon of choice. Amen. And it says, tensions rise to a climax as Elijah puts his own life on the line in a stand for the community and faces off with the most ruthless gang leader and his sworn enemy, Darian Murda Matthews. What transpires in the moments to come will leave you absolutely breathless. My. Now, some of the reviews have been, performed to capacity crowds at the Downsview Soundstage in 2009, performed to a sold-out audience at the Mervish Panasonic Theater in 2010, and now it's back. Praise God. We're going to leave a link to this from our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page. Please feel free to check it out. I know it'll link through to Twitter as well, so you can check out Pastor Rouse Show on Twitter. That's Pastor Rouse Show on Twitter. Okay, we've got some other things happening. Hopefully soon we'll get to speak with Cheryl. We've been trying to get in touch with Cheryl, and she's so busy. She just got back from England. And she's got so many things happening, but God is good and really trying to bless her, amen, and use her. And I know that's what she enjoys the most. So that's a joy and a pleasure right there. Praise God. All right, moving right along. Speaking of plays, there is a play happening for all you people in the Detroit, Michigan region and Windsor, Essex County. And I say that because they share a border. Spare Change is the name of the play. And I like this line. It says, if Medea had a brother, his name would be Spare Change. Praise God. So you know it's going to be full of jokes. And that's on Saturday, November the 23rd. That's in a couple weeks at 2:30 p.m. at Bethel AME Church, and that's in Richard Allen Boulevard, praise God, and that's Warren Avenue in Detroit, Michigan, praise the Lord. Now, if you want some more details, once again, it's posted on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page, so definitely check it out. We will let you know some more information. There is a number, and I'm just looking at it, and I've got some connection. I've got some direct connection with one of the churches that is actually a sponsor of this. So this is why I'm trying to see if I can get this information here and just kind of give you a number. There we go. Area code 313-831-8810, and the tickets are only $20, and it says it is back by popular demand. Amen. So it's been performed and everybody loved it, so you certainly don't want to miss it. And let's see, it's another African Methodist Episcopal Church event, praise God. And I want to name some of these sponsors because I know these churches well. Amen. Praise God. Baber Memorial AME Church, Pastor Larry Simmons. Bethel AME Church in Detroit, Michigan. This is where it's being hosted. David Jarrett, Pastor. Ebenezer AME Church and the Byron C. Moore Pastor. And we have Greater Quinn AME Church on the Park Boulevard. And that's Dr. Darren Penson is the pastor there, praise God. Greg Memorial AME Church. And, Dr. Charles Fontaine Macon is a pastor, know him well. Sanders Memorial AME Church. I thought it was Saunders, but I could be wrong. Reverend Dwayne Gary, amen, praise God. Very well-known minister. Who else do we have? Oh, in River Rouge, Michigan, we have St. John AME Church on Beechwood, and that's Daniel Reed Esquire is the pastor. St. Paul AME Southwest, amen, I know the church very well, and that's Pastor Jeffrey Baker. Trinity AME Church, my girl, my friend and my buddy and one of my mentors is Reverend Alice Patterson. And once again, this is a AME production, praise God. So definitely check it out. Don't just go see it because it's an AME production and I said to go, but you know, it's going to be good, praise God. And the number again you can reach is 313-831-8810. And again, the ticket's only $20, and that's Saturday, November 23rd at 2:30 p.m. Praise God. That's exciting. I'm really proud of them. I'm sorry. I'm a little biased. Praise God. I'm allowed to be. Amen. I love when my AME church folk doing good things. Praise the Lord. We have some more. OMG. Yes, no, I'm not saying OMG because I want to say OMG. OMG is back. Yes, remember just a couple weeks ago, it was private pain in public schools, and we actually got to speak directly on air with Dr. Elaine. Well, they're back. So check out www.omgunplugged.com. Or call if you're in the Toronto and GTA region, 416-728-1345. It says the year's most inspiring stage play is back, October 28th. So that's this weekend at 6 p.m. at York University. Okay? So you want to check it out. Tickets are only $20. check it out. It's also posted on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page. And you might want to check it out. And if you do go, tell Dr. Elaine Brown Spencer that Pastor Jay Rouse said, hey, girlfriend. Amen. Praise God. And I believe we've got something else happening. Yes, here we go. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love it. All right. Pieces of me. This sounds kind of deep. Amen. And this is happening. Let me see. This is November the 20th at Ryerson Avenue. So it's at the Theater Pass Mural. And that's November the 20th to the 23rd, forgive me, another play written by Dion Denton and produced by Promise Productions. Amen. Lots of good stuff happening. This is a local thing. A restless wife trying to escape past. A faithful husband trying to secure their future. Whoa. And a secret that will shatter them both. We are surely keeping it real here on the Pastor Jay Rouse Show. Amen. Praise God. Continue to keep us posted of all your upcoming events. I also have something here with the UK. Yes, November 20th, there's a new Christian TV talent show. And they're holding auditions literally around the world. But the Toronto location is on November the 20th by the Let's Focus group, and they're trying to put together some sort of a program. You might want to check it out on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page. It says new TV show broadcasting in the UK, USA, and Canada is looking for Christian singer, songwriters, and music producers. The winner of the show will receive a music management contract. Amen. Auditions and filming held in Toronto, Canada, mid-November, and closing day for applications is November the 10th. For audition dates and times, you have to keep-praising@outlook.com, okay? You want to check that out. We're going to keep it on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page, but thought everybody would like to know about that. Should be interesting. Maybe it's going to be another reality show, because we know reality shows seem to be happening these days. I don't know how much we keep up with them, but the fact is it's a reality that there are reality shows out there. Amen. Praise God. Now let's step on back into keeping up with the Joneses. Amen. Let's hear how things are going here with Rommel.
So now, the movie itself, you're looking to distribute it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a view on where you'd like to place this, or?
Well, basically, we would like to hit a lot of major cities, Miami, Toronto, New York for sure, Washington, London, those places, especially where West Indian people are,
mm-hmm.
and places that have an interest in West Indian culture and stuff. And also, we can't forget the Caribbean. We want to go into Trinidad, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Grenada, those countries that that already have a good set of keeping up with the Joneses pattern.
Right.
Right. So we want to hit those countries.
Now, this just came to me because as someone who's just covered the International Toronto International Film Festival, Caribbean Tales Film Festival, and the Gospel Film Festival in Toronto. What I've noticed that there was a particular very cultured Jamaican movie that was in the film festival. And the irony of the whole thing is it seems to get its even greatest attention in the non-West Indian sector. And I think maybe, do you think that's just out of curiosity?
Yeah, because people, generally speaking, don't know much about what happens in the West Indies, like post, I guess, 1950s, what has been told, outside of what has been told in the history books. And, as you said earlier, there are a lot of people that think that we still live in, small little chattel houses and go to stamp pipes and stuff.
Right.
Especially people that, even people that used to live here, went overseas, haven't come back for 40, 50 years. When they come back, and they're flying along the West Coast, and see the hotels, and they're in shock because they have no idea that we have developed. So, you know, people just go out of curiosity to see what it's about, and then it becomes popular through that, you know.
Right, that's good. Now, is there anything else that you'd like to add, to put out there about the particular series and the movie itself?
Well, we poured our heart and souls into it, and we really are excited to see what people's reactions are going to be to the film, especially since the film is going to depart from the format that the series had, because the series is a mockumentary, like a reality show, but the movie is more cinematic, so it's almost if you're placed on the wall watching the Joneses after the...
We are part of the Joneses family, so to speak, watching.
Right. Yeah, so the reality show is finished, the cameras are off, but we are still seeing them.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, that different style of filming, though, we want to see how people are going to react to that.
Because it's become the Jones, the film itself.
Yeah.
Like you had the Brady Bunch,
right,
and then they had the film itself.
The film,
exactly. So can we possibly say that there may be a future to say that series one of Keeping Up with the Joneses can be on video soon and people can actually purchase?
Yeah, I mean, we had it on DVD here for a while. Fortunately, most of those are gone. But you can see it online at islestream.com. And you never know. We might be coming to a town near you.
Well, I certainly hope so. And I know you'll contact me for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Make sure he does. You'll be coming as well, correct?
Hope so.
Well, I've got lots of extra room, so you're always welcome. So now, let's delve into, we've done Keeping Up with the Joneses, and I know this is a theme, but we want to know a little bit more about you.
Well, I'm 34 years old. I've been dealing with the arts since 2000. I was in theater at first, and then I branched off. I had a company called Jesus Army Productions. Because being a Christian myself, Jesus Army Productions.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, being a Christian myself, I felt that there was a lack of good Christian entertainment. Not just Christian, but just clean entertainment.
You know what?
But,
it's sad, but that's what my show does. It reaches the quote unquote, as they say in America, secular world, and it crosses over. As an author, I started out doing Christian materials because that's all I knew. And then suddenly the Lord was placing in my heart to do non-Christian books, but life lesson children's books. And I was not available in the Christian bookstores, or the bulk of them. I was in the bigger bookstores, and I thought, well, what am I doing here?
Right.
And you know what? It gave me the opportunity to minister to everybody and anybody. And I was praying in chapters in Indigo, and it was like, wow, this is cool. So I think this is unique, and as you said, it's an army, and we're in a different phase of our Christian walk where I think they say God doesn't do anything new. Yes, he does. He doesn't change, but he's doing a new thing. And I think there's more people like us who are reaching into the regular world and being normal people, but still shining in a certain way.
Yeah, because the thing, one of the things is that whenever somebody announces, you know, the person that wrote Keeping Up with the Joneses is a Christian, it's just like, oh, really?
Really? Yeah.
Really? And it's like, but why? I mean, there's no cursing, there's no no whole set of slackness and nudity and all kind of thing. Why would you think it's like, you know, people just
But
think,
there are families that live like that. There are wholesome, happy families. And
but,
so every family isn't cursing and swearing and smoking and drinking up a storm. And I think the people who can relate to that are those families. They're just good-natured folk, and they may not be religious per se, but
just
good
regular, people.
General, everyday good people.
Right, exactly. And, well, basically what I did, well, I just forayed from theater into, just moved from theater into film.
Film production.
Right, and there's where I am now.
Right.
I have my own film production, Hollywood Productions, which we produce Keeping Up with Joneses. We're also getting ready for, to produce a game show called Rush, which is sort of like a treasure hunt, well, is a treasure hunt in a supermarket, and it's going to be starting in the next 5 weeks, actually. And we have a movie lined up next year. So it's going to be a romance comedy, so we'll see how that works.
And what is it called?
Well, the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie is tentatively titled Sharon All Over Again.
Sharon?
All Over Again.
Okay, all right.
tentatively titled.
And you have some other projects on the go?
Yeah, we have one called Restaurant Explorers, which is a series where we have two hosts that go into different restaurants and see how the food is being prepared. And, you know,
now, is it for critique, or is it just to make sure it's being done properly?
No, to just...
We do have shows like that.
Yeah, I know, but what it is they go into... The mandate of the show, basically, is to show people options, food options,
mm-hmm.
where they can go to eat.
Okay.
So that is essentially what our thing... I'll be trying to use it as a tourism product.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Well, then you definitely have to keep me informed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And Ms. Lovely Lady?
Yes. Well, as I said before, I'm Chantel. I'm 31 years old. And like Ramel, I segued into film from theater. I was very interested in theater arts many years ago, and that's where I started. That was my first interest. And then in 2009, a friend of mine asked me to help him cast for a film that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the casting was complete, and he was really pleased with some of the weird choices that I made, he asked me to stick around and, you know, just
right.
help on set and help with directing.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with it.
Okay.
And it was really interesting because before I always thought, why would anybody work behind the scenes when, you know, you can be on stage?
In front.
And it,
right.
And I think I've fallen in love even more with the behind the scenes now.
The production.
And the production.
Yeah.
And making it happen than being, you know, up front and
center. You know what it is? Remember I talked about giving birth to these babies?
Yeah.
It's the difference between being behind the scenes and raising the child.
Yeah.
As opposed to the babysitter who sees the child for a couple mm-hmm. hours every day.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you can really say you put, like he said, his heart and soul into
mm-hmm.
it. To be in front of it, you do what you do and you keep
and
moving.
Yes. It's true. It's very true.
And it's ironic because I guess when you think about being the actor, you may work on this thing and then go to the next thing or just never do anything ever again and you're no longer around. But production leads to so much more.
Yeah.
So what other projects are you working on?
Well, I work right now all the projects Ramel mentioned.
Uh-huh. You're
working
involved?
With, yes.
Uh-huh.
And also I work with a friend of mine. She is a behavior change consultant.
Okay, and can you explain that?
She works to, first of all, there would be a topic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's choose something like AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
If a company or an organization wants to address some specific issue to do with AIDS, for example, the use of condoms,
right.
I'm just being very general here,
uh-huh.
She would do the research for the demographic that they're looking at, see what the practices are, what's happening,
mm-hmm.
And structure programs to bring about change, to bring a message to the people,
okay.
to inform them so that there's a long-term...
It's dealt with in a certain way.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, it's a combination of marketing, it's researching,
definitely.
And then strategic change, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
How they perceive things, how they do things, and how
mm-hmm.
things are brought about. That's a lot of work.
Yes, and it's geared towards long-term change and not just
mm-hmm.
a change for this minute.
Right.
Right.
The Band-Aid effect, I call that.
Yes. So we work together because
uh-huh.
she's a lot more into the researching and reading and digging up and writing reports than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a lot more into the creative element.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come together and we do work on projects. And I am also working on a talk show right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a regional talk show geared towards parents.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've given birth to shows.
Yes.
So technically you're the parent.
Yes, yes indeed. Trying to be a good mama.
There you go, there you go. So I guess we can hopefully see some exciting more things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tentative possibility of, you said this is the third season that would be coming up next?
Yeah, we're trying to get the third season out. We are not sure the format is going to be in yet, but
mm-hmm.
10 scripts have been written already and they are hilarious. So
okay.
The most I can say is that we are trying to get the Christmas episode out for Christmas because we wanted to have about two or three finished so that they can start being broadcast.
Right.
But, we're going to try to do the Christmas as a special, a standalone special, and get that out for December.
Okay. Any last words?
Yes. I think it's really important to mention that it's a lot more than just Ramel and I.
Mm-hmm.
We're the people here speaking on behalf of the show, but
right.
we have an excellent, excellent cast and an excellent crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to mention them because
we've
really had to go through a lot together,
mm-hmm.
and filming is very long hours, and sometimes it's tedious
it's
and you're tired
mm-hmm.
yeah, from doing other things. But we have an incredible camaraderie on set.
Good.
And so the problems between each other are minimal to non-existent,
mm-hmm.
and it makes doing what we have to do so much easier, just having good people to
right.
do it with.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to acknowledge all the great people that we have working with us.
Okay. Okay, very
yeah.
well said.
Mm-hmm.
And yourself, sir?
Yeah, I just want to echo the same sentiment. I would just mention my wife, Fawn,
mm-hmm.
Who has to put up with all my ideas, because she usually gets to vet my ideas before anybody else
Aww.
Does. And
the guinea pig.
Yeah. Sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh
I
my.
Kid you not. And then there's Shane Holford, who's my business partner, so
mm-hmm.
we bounce off stuff, ideas off each other.
Right.
So and one of the things I want to do, I was very, very, very deliberate in making sure that we had a family atmosphere on set.
Right.
So I remember we were shooting the first episode, and it was actually there trying to stimulate discussion. I actually had discussion topics in my head that I came on set with to stimulate discussion. Oh, you didn't know that, did you?
Yeah, I heard that before.
Yeah, right, you heard me say that, right.
Funny.
Right. No, but because I know from experience that
mm-hmm.
movie sets, you can have serious
oh, yeah.
personality clashes.
Oh, very much so.
So I wanted to make sure that we were a family, because families will work together a lot better. You'll work better with somebody if you like them. I mean, and I told them, this is not Hollywood. I mean, it's Hollywood production, but it's
right.
not Hollywood where I hate Chantel's guts, but we play a happy married couple. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, I love this show. Those
right.
two of those are so... But then when the cameras are off... We don't want to live like that. We want everybody to be...
Right.
So
and you want to have the atmosphere, because it actually pulls, like she said, it makes things work better.
Correct.
And
so when people are tired, they don't be like, man, I ain't working here anymore. You know, everybody would gel together and try to pull it together.
Right.
And I found that because we created that culture,
uh-huh.
what happened is that when we did the movie, and then other people came on set, because the movie had 56 actors.
Wow.
Right, outside of the not regular, family.
Casting, yeah.
Right. So we had approximately 45 or so actors who were not regular members of the show. They came on set and they said, well, this is the best set I've ever been on. I've heard that over and over and over
mm-hmm.
again. So they're like, well, y'all like a family for truth. I mean, it's not...
Mm-hmm.
It's play a family on set, but everyone's
right.
like a big
connected
family.
Connected well.
So,
yeah,
it's very important, and that's one of the things that I believe that kept us together, too.
Okay. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. I am going to be snooping and peeping and linking. And my cousin said, stop telling people that you're going to be stalking them. I refuse it. They said, no, you don't understand. People in Barbados, they will think you're serious. So I'm going to put it out there. Pastor Jay, when we do our stuff, we do follow everybody that we have our hands on, because we like to create our own little family of network. And so we will definitely be connecting with Rouse Ministries Broadcasting Communications and keeping up with the Joneses and the other projects you're doing,
right.
definitely.
Okay.
And when you're coming to Toronto, if I have to hear from somebody else, I'm not going to be a happy camper. You'll let me know? All right. So I think if we want to continue to keep up with the Joneses, we need to get moving. You've got things to do, people to see, places to go.
Yep.
And likewise. So this is Pastor Jay Rouse. We're about to sign out at the Blue Orchid Beach Hotel, and the sun seems to be dimming and setting. I think we're about to get some rain, but that's okay. It tends to cool off a little sometimes when it rains. But at this stage, we can truly say we're looking forward to keeping up with the Joneses, and I'm not even sure if we can keep up with them, but we'll do our very best. So God be with you till we meet again.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you.
said them no real from morning. She said them no wise. Lucifer calling, ready in a day mind. Iniquity darling, they have to victimize. Gun them out we not compromise. Can we find out the rubber there? Rubbers of soul, tell my brothers there to take full control. Ethiopia away, sovereigns and princesses. Which one in one accord and that is how we live. Remember where you're coming from and don't you burn your bridge. Advance for the future, we're staying positive, yeah. Remember you feel liberate yourself from put down Babylon, grudge and all them hate and done. Seek for salvation, don't rely on love. Thy kingdom come, the final to rob them. Robbers of souls, tell my brothers there, take full control. Robbers there, robbers of souls. Half us never been told. The pagan them a basking and the children them blood. Yow me fire bomb the wicked man ritual. No make them trick you cast them nah no love. Can't stop the rust them so spiritual. A judgment a go take them in a them carnival. Them a worship animal, burn your lip for cannibal. Hey, I like me chanfa, I don't me walk. Urban boys a burn the funeral. Cause a robber there, robbers of souls. Tell my brothers there, take full control. A robber there, robbers of souls. Tell my sister so much beauty to the old. We find out a robber there, robbers of souls. Tell my brothers there, take full control. A robber there, robbers of souls. See that the truth unfold. Missy said them no real from morning. Missy said them no wise. Lucifer calling, ready in a demise. Iniquity darling, they have to victimize. Me bond them and me not compromise. Well, I have tried for the rabbi, yeah. Rabbis of soul, tell my brothers there, take full control. Rabbis there, rabbis of soul. Tell my sister so much beauty to be old. Rabbis there, rabbis of soul. Tell my brothers there, take full control. Be not afraid of them evil doers. They shall wither away. Hey, but my disaster, Rastafari is my prerogative. My meditation not stray. God, a robber them, robbers of souls. Brothers, take full control. Robber them, robbers of souls. Hey, red, green, and
amen. That was Turbulence, Robbers of Souls. And the reason I played that, that is the topic of the Right on Point Hot Topic tonight. Here's the situation, people, and we're going to do this two more weeks because I really want to hear from everybody. So here it is. Father who beat to death a man he caught raping his five-year-old daughter is found not guilty under Texas state law. Now, ironically enough, I'm going to be doing some more research on this because the majority of the people that we have respond, I have yet to get anybody who actually thought this was wrong. And even the Christians didn't consider it murder. So I don't know. This is a real controversial thing because, you know, he did take somebody's life. And remember, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I'll give you my opinions next week. But we still want to hear from you on the hot topic. Here's more of the story. So a Texas father who discovered a man raping his five-year-old daughter and beat him to death with his bare hands, okay? He didn't even get an object. I mean, he was that angry. He beat this man with his bare hands. He was found not guilty on Thursday by a grand jury under state laws. Now, it says, and this is back from September. Keep in mind, okay, this is the beginning of September. It's not an October story. All right. Father who beat to death man he caught raping his five-year-old daughter is found not guilty under Texas state law. a young father who beat his daughters, rapist to death after walking in on assault, was found not guilty of murder. Now, you see, it would seem that he was charged by the state grand jury. The 23-year-old beat, okay, he was 23, and a 47-year-old man, Jesus Flores, to death for molesting his 5-year-old daughter in a secluded barn. The authorities accepted that he attempted to phone 911 to help the man after the attack. Under the law in the state of Texas, deadly force is authorized and justified in order to stop an aggravated sexual assault. Okay, give me 2 seconds here because I'm going to link this up so you guys can see where I'm reading this from. I'm just, this is something else. It's unbelievable. I want to add another link here to what we're doing, praise God, on our Right on Point hot topic. On point. Continues for another week. Okay, it says we want to hear from you on this. Pastor J. Rouse Show at gmail.com. Hook us up on Twitter or at Pastor Rouse Show. No J on Twitter. Okay, and we've put the link there big time. We really want to hear from you on this hot topic. We've had some opinions, thoughts given out, and we thank you for those who have shared with us very much so. Some wanted it private, some don't mind going public, but yeah, we want to hear from you because it's unbelievable. It's like, when is murder considered not murder? I guess that's the way it would be worded. But anyways, as I continue reading. Okay, so it says that deadly force is authorized and justified in order to stop an aggravated sexual assault or sexual assault, okay? Now, a Texas man, father, who discovered a man raping his 5-year-old daughter and beat him to death with his bare hands will not be charged. So now it looks as though he was not formally charged with homicide under state law. A Lavaca County grand jury cleared the 23-year-old father in the June 9th death of Jesus Mora Flores, 47, who was killed inside a remote shack after he was caught molesting the young girl. Under Texas state law, deadly force is authorized and indeed justified in order to stop an aggravated sexual assault, and coupled with the fact that the harrowing 911 calls made by the father back claims he even tried to save the pedophile's life led to the grand jury's decision. A family friend saw Flores carrying the girl into the secluded barn and alerted the father, who rushed towards his daughter's scream and arrived to find them both with their undergarments off. Okay. No charges. 25th Judicial District Attorney Heather McMinn, okay, and Lavaca County Sheriff Mika Harmon were appearing on the news conference that they gave on June the 19th in the aftermath of the killing. Now, flying into a rage, the fathers whose name has not been released to protect the little girl's identity beat Flores unconscious, but attempted to call 911 for the rapist after he had made sure his daughter was safe. Indeed, the father is heard profanely screaming at a dispatcher who couldn't locate the property. Becoming increasingly frazzled, the father at one point tells a spit dispatcher he's going to put the man in his truck and drive him to a hospital before sheriff's deputies finally arrive. Now, Van Hooser, the father's attorney, sternly told reporters several times during the news conference at the Lavaca County Courthouse that neither the father nor the family will ever give interviews. Says he's a peaceable soul, Hooser said. He had no intention to kill anybody that day. The attack happened and the family's ranch off a quiet two-lane county road between the farming towns of Shiner and Yoakum. All right. I'm not going to read anymore. We'll continue with this next week because there's a lot more to read. But you notice he's a peaceable man. And I think what happened was he just got really angry. He got very upset. And basically he really, really, really lost track of what he was doing. And that's understandable because I guess you react first and then you think after. And I'm sure when he realized what he had done, he did not intend to kill this man, but he was just very angry and trying to save his daughter. I will read one response that we did get that I think I can read publicly. But remember, I said the majority of responses we got were all that they thought this man was justified. Amen. And this particular person said, quote unquote, "I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old daughter. If anyone ever," and he capitalized ever, "attacks one of them, all bets are off. Seriously, I will do," and in big letters he put, "whatever I have to do to protect them." Amen. I think a lot of us would. And like I said, this guy is a peaceful type man and he doesn't mean any harm. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that something? But you know what? Let's take a little break here. One of my favorite songs, and you know it's my favorite song, and it's called "God is Love." Amen. After we talked about the robbers of soul, I think we got to remember that God is love. And then we're going to hear a little bit about my interview on Sita Radio while I was in Barbados, some of the things that I was doing. So hang in there because God is love. Let's minister. Praise God.
So you say you want a man that'll be there to the very end, never holding you up, kind of man that God can send. Someone that won't put pressure on you, regardless of what you've been through. The kind of man that can and will take care of you. Help me out. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of life's time. Just look around and you will find that God is love. Can you picture a love that never dies? It gets stronger, bringing tears of joy in your eyes. A love so strong, all you have to do is call his name. One touch from the hem of his garment and you'll never be the same. Oh no, love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of life's time. Just look around and you'll find that God is love. A man with great love and stability, showing no signs of hate or insecurity. A man who won't get bored or tired of you, remind you that his love is true, by whispering sweet nothings in your ear like you can do it, boo. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of a lifetime. Just look around and you'll find that God is love. Wouldn't it be nice if every man was this way? Even though you're so sad of weakness, he lets you know that it's okay, it's okay. Wouldn't it be nice to put your trust in a man like this? When two are gathered together, there he is in the midst. What kind of love is this? Love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of a lifetime. Just look around and you'll find that God is love. God is love. When all hope is lost, he died for you and me. Yes, he paid the cost. God is love. When you're feeling down, God is love. When nobody's around, God is love. In sickness and in pain, God is love. Sunshine and rain, God is love. When you feel like nobody understands you, God is love. His love will take you to more love.
Love is patient,
more love. Oh,
love is a part of a lifetime.
Yeah, my body's strength with me.
Love is patient, love is kind.
Everybody's strength with me.
I have Minister J. Wright Rouse, an international evangelistic outreach minister. She's a poet, a playwright, and author, and founder of Rouse Ministries, established in 2002. Now, the ministry's public subdivision has published books like Daniel in the Lion's Den Children Book Series, and we'll be hearing more about that. So we officially welcome you to Sita Radio. Good morning. Good afternoon, sorry, to you,
yes.
Minister. How are you?
I'm well and truly blessed. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, when it comes to being an author, and then you still have, you're an evangelistic outreach minister,
mm-hmm.
How do you combine the two?
You
know, we tend to focus on one area.
My ministry is just Jesus. And so as I'm called to do what I have to do, I just do it. It didn't initially start as a ministry and author. I ended up doing ministry from 2002. Well, actually, I was ordained before that. But my ministry, Rouse Ministry, started in 2002. And it's only a year and a half ago that I got into writing.
Mm.
And then
God birthed that new area.
Oh, God has been birthing so much. I feel like I've got twins because they're all so close together.
Mm-hmm.
It started as writing, and then I actually went to get it published, and I started to realize that the people who were working with it didn't seem to know what they were doing, and I seemed to already know what I was doing. So I said, my mom said, you know what? Why are you always paying people to do stuff when you still end up having to fix it and doing it better? So I wasn't happy, but eventually I gave birth to Rouse Ministries Publishing, and it's exploded since, because from that point, within that year and a half, I think I've written about 10 to 12 books.
Mm.
And when God is ready to use you, he will just use you.
As you avail yourself.
Yes. And then from there, we just graduated into broadcasting and communication, and that is a testimony in itself, because I never used to go anywhere outside of church. I would go places, but I always had company. I would never really boldly go someplace on my own, even as a minister. And I actually instead of actually giving up something. I gave up something, but the Lord told me, this year you're going to take something on. And I thought, can I even do that? And he said, if I tell you you can, you have to do what I tell you. And so it was boldness. It was very uncomfortable for me. I was not as publicly bold as people think I am. And it just happened, and it was very uncomfortable. And then by April, May, he said, okay, guess what? And I'm telling you, it's just taken off. It has. I've done red carpet interviews. I've done the Soweto Gospel Choir. I'm being pulled from international people to interview them, and it's really unique. When your favorite author, Christian author, who you look up to, keeps chasing you, so you can interview them, it's unbelievable. But God is so powerful. And I think the testimony alone is, if you try to do things your own way, it slows down the progress and the process of what the Lord has for you to do. If you just let him do it, well, I don't even have to tell you. You just take off and you just follow. It's so, like I say, I follow Jesus, but my Jesus runs. Amen?
Well, you know, we're talking about you being an evangelistic outreach minister. We're talking about publishing. We're talking about you as a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Who is J. Wright Ross?
Well, initially, I got saved at the age of 7, and I loved him. And it's funny because as a former Sunday school and youth pastor and Sunday school teacher, I always say that's where you're planting your biggest seed. And it's almost ironic because we've had to pass classes and children coming here. And I had a Sunday school teacher who I thought was so amazing. And I admired her so much that I thought, if she loves this man named Jesus, then I really need to know who this Jesus man is. And he makes her so loving and kind, he must be good. And so I actually got saved with my cousin and the two of us. We talked about it, and we went after church, and we got saved. And I was very much into church. But when you're young, you need the support. And it was sort of an independent thing we went through on our own. And then, of course, got into my teenage years. And I try to tell parents, some children, they're curious about the world. They're going to want to spread their wings. We can't stop them. And the more you try to stop them, the more they're going to fight against it. And so I spread my wings and went my merry way and did what I did. I actually came back strong to the Lord because I went through a major crisis where I started going back to church, but I wasn't quite fully there. I knew there was a calling on my life, and I ran. I thought I wasn't prepared to give up everything. I just wanted to do something. So I would tell people, oh, I'm spiritual. I would, and my friends would get mad. They'd go, but you're a Christian, no? And my theory on that was, I can't claim to be a Christian if I'm not living my life like Christ or how he would want me to. So I would tell them I'm spiritual because I knew I loved the Lord and I knew the Lord loved me. And I would follow him to a point, but I'm sorry, I like to go to the nightclub, so you know. Unless
one
you're prepared to come with me. One foot, I had a foot and a half, girl. I had the foot over, and I had the rest of the stuff hanging ready to jump. So, and I finally fully committed to the Lord because I had a child. And it was funny because it was out of wedlock, and it was before I got married. And my thing was, the child was not well. And I had a very complicated pregnancy. And then I ended up basically talking to the Lord because I really needed him. And I told him that whatever the outcome would be, that I was really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would do whatever he wanted to. And I wouldn't run from what he was calling me to do. And I committed me and my child to him. And that's when I answered the call. And sadly, my little man, Daniel, he only lived for a couple hours, and then he went to go with the Lord. And I remembered that vow that I made to God, and I never gave up. And I mean, I went full time, full blast.
Nice.
And it's been an amazing ride.
I can tell you, because from there to then, you've become an evangelistic outreach minister,
yes.
A publisher, and now... You're here in Barbados.
Yes, beautiful
what are we,
Barbados.
What are we doing here in Barbados?
Well, you know, other than the show and the book, Ralph Ministries Publishing is doing its expansion to the Caribbean, and we're going worldwide international as well. Some of our children's books, we're actually in the process of translating them from French to French and Spanish, and we are heading, like, we're going to do Caribbean, and then we're going to do South America and places like
that. How is that going so far? Because I know that you do reside in Canada.
Yes.
And you speak not only English alone.
Yes.
So you're working and bearing in mind all cultures.
Yes.
And their languages.
There you go.
So how do you get it done? How are you trying to transition from Canadian way of life and writing that they understand back to beautiful Barbados and the Caribbean?
Well, and what it is, you have to remember the types of books that I do, especially the children's books. Well, they're Christian novels for the adults, and I've got a teen series that I'm coming out with as well. But the children's books, if they're not Christian, they're life lessons.
Okay.
So everybody can relate. I have an anti-bullying book. It's called If I'm Important, You Are Too. It teaches. Everybody knows about that. And everybody can understand. And even though they're life lessons, they may not be Christian-based, but, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Same kind of concept.
They are Christian-based, but applicable to all areas of life.
Exactly. And every child, no matter where they are, is going to understand you don't bully people. There are kids who are afraid of the dark.
Period.
Yes, there are kids afraid of the dark. Sharing in numbers teaches children how to count while having fun and sharing.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah.
So we're here in Barbados, and Ralph Ministries has now decided, you know, we're going to expand into the Caribbean.
Yes.
You know, how has that been going so far?
It's very, very well. The other concept, see, there's two parts of it. Ralph Ministries Publishing, we're calling it the Caribbean Connection. And what the intention is that we call it exchange of ideas and exchange of words. We don't want to just bring our work and other things that we work with and other authors. We want to take some of your work out, and we want to get it out to North America and to the UK. I know there's so much hidden talent in the islands, and especially in Barbados. I mean, I'm of Bajan descent, and I know the caliber of what's here, and it's unfortunate that sometimes people don't get the opportunity to spend and get it out of the island or even to another island, and that's what we really want to do and share it. And that's where Ralph Ministries Broadcasting and Communications comes in, because we already broadcast to the world. So it brings more awareness to everybody, and you've got to imagine, if we can bring our books, why can't we move your books too? Do you know what I mean?
And
that's how, exactly. Now,
for some persons who are listening and saying, but I've already had some stuff, I've had this collage of information, I've been writing books in my little notebook, I haven't published, how do you help them get started?
Well, publishing is, there's a myth in publishing. Everybody who has a book and wants to do a book is convinced that everybody's going to like their book because everybody believes they have a story to tell. Not everybody has a story that can sell to everybody. The big international publishers, they don't go around and just say, hey, you've got a book? Okay, we'll pay for it. And that's what people assume. Most publishers will not pay for a book unless you have to be somebody that's very well known. I mean, if it's like Brad Pitt or something, well, they know. Everybody's going to buy the book, even if you just write an ABC book. it'll sell. They're all about money. What happens is self-publishing is the genre that everyone has to use. We help people to self-publish within a confined and structured setup. And what happens is you're still paying for what you have to do, but we help to cut the cost. And as Christians, we're not out to make a fortune off of anybody. We just want to help people. Now, regular publishing companies, if your book is marketed and promoted and starts to sell, they will watch you. And that's when they want to basically come along and maybe offer you something, but that's not how it works.
Okay. So how can we contact you?
Well, there's Pastor J. Rouse at gmail.com or Rouse Ministries Publishing at gmail.com.
Can you spell that for our listeners?
R-O-U-S-E, Ministries, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S, Publishing, P-U-B-L-I-S-H-I-N-G at gmail.com. And we have book signings. Saturday morning, 10 at Day's Bookstore, and 2 to 4 at Bookstore. That's tomorrow.
Okay. And you're also on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook, Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, or you can also look it up as Pastor J. Rouse.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
No, thank you for having me. You're wonderful.
Thank you. And I'm intrigued because I know we have lots of talent. In Barbados, we've had one or two, and I think in the past year, some small events where we try to hone the talent of writers, script writers, whether they are also book writers, you know, get their talent out there and also help them to perfect and, you know, and expand on that talent, improve on the areas of grammatical errors, all of that right here in Barbados. So it's good that you've come along. And I'm sure if any of them are listening, they're saying, oh, here's another avenue to work along with. So check her out, J. Wright Rouse. And as you said, you can look for
Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications on Facebook, or Pastor J. Rouse on Facebook, or Pastor J. Rouse at gmail.com.
Okay. So for those of you who know, you have budding writers, poets, authors, they want to, they just have a passion for writing and you just want to hone that talent and take it to the next level, this is the avenue for
you. And they can come and get my books on Saturday.
On Saturday. See you at Day's Bookstore. What's the time again?
10 until 12 and 2 to 4 at Bookstore. And they will be carried in pages as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you again for staying with us. And of course, wherever you are listening, remember, check her out.
Amen. Praise God. Had a wonderful time in Barbados. Still connected. Can't wait to get back. And there'll be more updates next week because we're really trying to keep it real right here on the Pastor J. Rouse Show. Now, what I need to remind you, if you want to keep it real, then here's the scripture for the week. And it is Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. You can't go wrong with that, and we hope that we can help others to see that vision, and we certainly want to work together and help everyone be blessed. That's supposed to be our motto, remember? Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, and Rouse Ministries Publishing. May our blessings be yours too. But until then, I would ask that you keep sweet, stay sweet. We'll continue our segment on Right on Point. We want to hear from you, and then we'll touch base with you next Wednesday. So God be with you until we meet again.
Forever, who made a man? the same.